Listen, I just carry your bags. That's my job. I'm just here to be a blessing to you. And the Bible says that the man that finds a wife finds a good thing. I want the whole world to know I got a good thing. And, just a couple of announcements, just to bring everybody up to speed, just praying for my mom. She's getting a little bit stronger every day. We're believing God that by Monday they're going to do the swallow test, that, and then she can go into rehab. But so far right now, just that swallowing, it's going into the lungs rather than into the stomach. So I just ask you to pray and really just to stand with us in that. And my sisters, we've all been able to go up to the hospital and spend some time with her, and it's been beautiful. And thank God for iPhones these days, because then everybody can see everybody that's in there, even though not too many can go. Pete Boise is home. Praise God. We're so thankful for Pete and Donna. And Pete, I know you're watching. Malaysia's doing a good job on the sound, all right? But he's home, and he's still having a problem swallowing also. I guess they said this is normal for the strokes and heart attacks. Today, just to be lifting up the Santoses, as Michelle's mom, they said she's going to go home with the Lord shortly. And she's been ill for a while and took a turn. And so Pastor Paul has been up there dealing with that. So keep Michelle and the Santos family as her mama. Keep them in your prayers, all right? Because they need it. Matter of fact, let's go before the Lord and just pray, shall we? Father, we just come today and we thank you for the body of Christ. You said that if we agree as touching anything, that we'll have what we say. You said if two of us, Father, there's more than two this morning, and we agree in the power of your word that said those stripes were for your children, your sons and your daughters. We speak to the throats of Mom and Pete in the name of Jesus. We speak to those throats to be healed in Jesus' name. Now, Father, you said we'll have it. And Father, we agree. You said if any two agree, Father, this morning we agree with your word that it's mighty, it's powerful, transformational, and it's healing. And Father, today we thank you for the healing in both of them and for my mom's whole left side in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just speak health into those muscles, strength into her body in the name of Jesus, and strength into Pete's this morning. And Father, we lift up the Santos family that as they walk through this time, we are so grateful that your comforter is with us every step of the way. Father, wrap your arms around each one. Hold them so close, Father, for a moment with you. Your arms, oh God, your arms, they're the ones that hold us upright. They sustain us. They keep us. And they allow us to see beyond what we're dealing with. And Father, we're so thankful that she loves the Lord, her God. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to do the miraculous in every situation. We know there's seasons, and Father, this is a season that we're going to stand with each and every one according to the power of your word. And Father, in the midst of that, we pray for our country this morning. Lord, we lift up our country before you. And we just speak to the lion devil, shut your mouth in the name of Jesus. You're a liar trying to deceive and destroy the unity, this one nation under God. And it is indivisible because of the King of Glory. For those that walk with you, we are indivisible. There is no way to divide the body of Christ. And Father, I pray that the body of Christ would stand up and proclaim unity. They would proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. They wouldn't shut up or change the subject. But Father, they would proclaim that with you all things are possible. And as we proclaim that, Father, we see the hearts of men and women being transformed by the power of your love. Let us take our lives and lay them down so that all would know the power of the King of Glory. We lift up the leaders in our country, O God, from the president on down. And we pray, O God, you would give them wisdom and understanding. Father, that you would remove the ones
Lord, who are bent on destruction, on division, on the demonic things of killing children, oh God, and destroying the word of God. Father, that you would remove them, but Father, come into their lives, touch them now. Have each one turn to you, my God and King. Let their hearts be open and transformed also. Father, we thank you for this great nation that we live in. We thank you, Father, that you have brought us together. You placed us here for this time and season. And Lord, we know that the enemy would come and try to destroy a nation that proclaims Jesus Christ, a nation that sends out missionaries, a nation that gives to the poor, a nation that is ready to sow and to surrender their lives for the cause of Jesus Christ. And therefore, Father, we stand upon your word and we said no more. No more. We won't go backwards. No more. We won't be pushed back. No more. We'll stay on our knees and we won't go backwards, Father. And we'll stand and proclaim the power, the delivering power of the Lord Jesus Christ. For you alone are worthy of praise and honor and glory. And we agree with your word that when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for hearing and answering our cry. Let our hearts be steadfast in the purposes of our God. Let our hands be given to the work of the ministry. Let our feet always run towards righteousness. Let our lips sing of the glory of God. And let us never, never hold back from them that are in need. Lord, that we would live as your sons and daughters, knowing that all that we have need of is provided by your hand and not the hands of man. So, Father, today we thank you. For the freedom in our hearts, we just let go of every anxious thought now in the name of Jesus. Let it go. Let it go. Every lie, let it go in the name of Jesus. Those thoughts that you've been pondering that have nothing to do with the word of God, let it go. Surrender that. Tell it you'll have no more authority in my mind. For I have been set free by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, we speak to every body in here, every natural body. Father, bring healing into the bodies now. Those that are weak, those that have been injured, those, Father, that have chronic pain, we speak to those bodies. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you for hearing our cry. And Lord, now we stand with such an expectation, not only of what you have already accomplished that we've cried out for, but an expectation of what you're going to do in us and through us the rest of our lives. Thank you for the opportunity to surrender to you so that our lives would be used for something invaluable of bringing souls into the loving arms of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for that opportunity, O God, to give them the words of life. Thank you. Instead of running around and living for that which is temporal, you've placed us on a course, an eternal course, seeking and saving that which is lost through the power of your word. What a plan you have. Oh, God, and you chose us. Oh, God, you are amazing. We give you the praise in Jesus' name, amen. You know, I was thinking, I won't be, thanks, brother. I won't be preaching from Romans 8. I don't know if I didn't get the word of the Lord that the other pastors got this morning, but maybe I should sit down. But I was thinking earlier this week about the manifold wisdom of God and how even the angels were astonished by the manifold wisdom of God. where Jews and Gentiles would walk together when Jesus Christ came. They didn't understand how it was going to work. They couldn't fathom how this plan that God had was going to manifest itself on the earth. And then Jesus came, the plan came to fruition, and they were sat back and they were blown away by the manifold wisdom of God. Now, because man can't see what God has prepared for them. You know in part and you prophesy in part, but it's only a part of it. Oh, if God would, well, first of all, if God would show you how he wanted to use you, you'd get scared and you'd leave. But that's why he only gives you bits and pieces, because he knows you can only handle a little bit at a time. But if we could see the one who started in the beginning that day before you were even saved, preparing that moment when everything changed in a moment, and then he prepared for you all the way through the lives that you're going to change. The manifold wisdom. You. Tell your neighbor, say you. Changing lives. Changing lives. See, that's the manifold wisdom of God. Because you looked at the person next to you and say, really? And they looked at you and said, are you kidding me? But that's the manifold wisdom of God. Man has no idea of what God can do through anyone that says, I will. I will trust in the Lord my God. Amen? Yeah. You know, I had received news from Haiti, from the Hassingers, and they're doing well. Amen. The Hassingers are doing well. We'll have a clip next week that we'll be able to put up on the screen. And because I got to see that as they were teaching in Creole, and there's Brother Wayne speaking Creole and teaching the word of God in Creole with these other gentlemen that he's working with. And Lisa, now her love for animals, and she's got horses, and she hasn't learned the language yet, but she's working on it. And her children are too. But now Lisa takes her horses, they were sharing with me. And what she does is she brings the children from the neighborhood, and she gives them riding lessons. But in order to go do a riding lesson, she teaches a lesson first. And the one lesson was she had a horse with the two reins, and each child had a rein on other opposite sides. And she had cones lined up in the middle. And so she taught them how to work together when one pulls and the other one releases, and working the horses, going through the cones. And all the while, Wayne had sat down and gone over the lesson in Creole with these two gentlemen that are working with Lisa, and they're explaining to the children the biblical principles that are going on, and then she lets them ride the horses afterwards. See, so whatever you have in your hand, God can use. Amen? Whatever you have in your hand, he can use. And it was so beautiful just watching the video of those two working together and speaking to these guys. And listening to Wayne speak Creole is hysterical. What God can do when you take what you have. He had a successful veterinarian business with large animals going from farm to farm, and putting in sometimes 85 hours a week taking care of all the big animals. He sold his house, he sold his business, and he said, I have to take what I've got, and I've got to use it to serve God. So he's working in a school down there, a veterinary clinic, and he's training Haitians on how to be a vet to their animals. And two of the guys that have already graduated, he's working with now, and he's discipling them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now he's teaching them how to supply their needs, and he's also teaching them the word of God. And but I'll tell you, watching the video, which you'll be able to see tomorrow or next week, Creole coming out of Wayne's mouth is just, I'm sitting there scratching my head, and it's such a beautiful thing. But can I tell you, all things are possible. Everything is possible to them that believe and are called according to their purpose. And they love it down there. They love it. They are enjoying themselves. They have, you know, they've changed, obviously, the way that they live. You know, no hot showers, only cold ones. And but it's what I think. I think they said it was 92 this past week. You know, it gets down. It gets chilly at night, down to 87. And I think they said in the wintertime, you know, it gets down to like 58 or something like that is the coldest. But they've had to change the way that they live. And I guess that's the question this morning. Are you willing to change the way that you live? Because the word, the one word really about ministry is inconvenience. Are you willing to inconvenience yourself for someone else? Or is what you have desired for life, is that the pattern? And as long as everybody else fits into what you want and what you told God. How many have told God? Oh, God, use me this way. Bring them to my sofa. I will be in my lazy boy. Beckon them, Lord, beckon them. Don't ask me to get out. That's not what I do. Father, you have said anything I ask. He didn't say anything you told him to do. Honey, bring the children, bring the grapes, bring the fans. People are coming. I want them to hear the word of the Lord from my lips. Is it your plan and your purpose that you have decided God should work within? Or is it his plan and his purpose? Because inconvenience, they've been inconvenienced down in Haiti. They've had to change some of the things that they eat. And you know what they said? We don't care. Because we're walking in the will of God. Oh, we don't care. Because we're walking in the will of God. Ah, just want to encourage you. They send their greetings. They're so thankful for the support. If you don't know the Hassingers, you'll meet them next weekend. Malaysia is going to put together a few-minute thing that we're going to show you. And if you're looking for missionary support, they're doing a great job down there. Just listening to all the stories are beautiful. And their children are doing great. So with that, if you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 4, verse 34. And we've been talking about the words in red. And he said, my food, Jesus said to them. Jesus said to them. Jesus said to them. Right? The words in red. Jesus said, here's what I'm going to eat. Here's what I'm going to spend my life doing. Here's what I want to accomplish. Here's what I want to give myself to. No other way of life. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish. Heaven forbid we don't accomplish anything in the kingdom of God by the time we're done. How many people have come to Jesus Christ and not accomplished anything in the kingdom of God? They've come and they sat for years listening to the word of God but not accomplishing anything. And Jesus said, look at him who sent me and to accomplish his work. We all know that Jesus accomplished everything at the cross, right? He said, it's what? It's finished. He said, it's finished. The only thing he had to do then was to what? Ascend to the Father for the purpose of the Holy Spirit being poured out, right? And then everything that was needed for us has been done. Can we agree? Right. Tell your neighbor, say, you got everything you need. See, it's a, but that's not what the mall says when you walk in, does it? That isn't what Amazon says when that old finger wants to click, 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 click. And every man just starts to sweat when the computer screen opens this time of year. Amazon doesn't say you've got everything you need. They send you advertisements that you talk to your wife about when your phone was off. Huh? And it says, don't worry about it. You got everything you need. Shut me off. Never says that. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. And you know, one of the things that that God has done so beautifully in each and every one, he has given you everything you need to accomplish his work. Can we agree? I shared this word with the men, and I just can't get it off my heart, because if we turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, I want you to know he's given you everything you need to accomplish the work that he sent you to do. Jesus lacked nothing. He was able to walk through every aspect of the purpose and the plan of God so that we would walk in our freedom. Amen? And in 1 Peter 4, verses 8 through 11, it says, and above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. Tell your neighbor, say, I love you. I love you. Tell your other neighbor, say, I fervently love you. I fervently love you. All right. Thank God there's no liars in the house. It says, because love covers a multitude of sins. Can I tell you, we believe the best in one another, we cover the multitude of sins. We encourage one another. Some of you count, you find a brother in a fault, what's the Bible say? Restore. The Bible doesn't, it says go and restore the brother, restore the sister. It doesn't say destroy. How easy is the flesh at that? Let's destroy everybody. Find a mistake that somebody makes and let's just make it bigger than what it really was. Let's exploit it. Let's do something worse than they did by gossip about them in the body of Christ. Because that's what it's worse. God puts gossip right up there with murder. That's how much God hates it. He hates it. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm all done with that. Yeah. Tell your other neighbor, say, you should be too. Yeah. Listen, it's one of the things that's ripping this country apart. It rips families apart. And that's what this country is all about. How many families have been ripped apart because of mistakes and the restoration didn't come? Because of a word and condemnation came. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. And Jesus came and he restored us to the Father. Our job is to restore each one to the Lord Jesus Christ and bring them back into a way of living where they truly are walking in freedom from guilt, from shame, from gossip, from everything else that the scripture guides us away from. Jesus did all of that. And you know what? Love covers it over. Love brings it in and says, hey, brother, hey, sister. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've been too afraid. Can I tell you, it's time not to be afraid. Because if we see something that's wrong before it gets worse, you know, when people are doing something wrong, it doesn't usually get better. Right? When once we start down the wrong path, we don't usually say, oh, this is getting so much better. As it gets darker and darker and darker. But to do it with a loving kindness that covers a multitude. It says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. The next 2 weeks, no complaining. Tell your spouse, we're done. Yes, we are. Just think about that. How wonderful would it be if you can go through the week without complaining? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Some of yous, you know, you get up in the morning, look in the mirror, and you start complaining. Some of yous don't even get out of bed. Oh, brother, we got to do this again. Throw the leg out. Without complaint. Without complaint. Thank God there's no guilt in the house of God. There's just transformation by the power of his word. And then verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as a good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Tell your neighbor, say, I received a gift on the day of my salvation. Okay, that's the reality of what happened on the day of your salvation. The Bible says that you received a gift. You had talents before that were natural, but this is something that's spiritual that you receive on the day of your salvation. Amen? Listen, if you didn't know that, I want you to know it now. And it's clear. It's clear, because we can look at most of you and see the gift of God at work. It's a gift that came down from the Father. So many have let their gifts sit to the side. And we're talking about the church wide, not just here, but there, you know, sometimes we've all done it. And sometimes people have complained about the gift that they have, or they've looked at someone else's gift and desired that. But the reality is, just think for a moment, the one who designed you when no man could see, the one who loves you more than anyone else, the one who brought you into this world for a day and an hour, and he's going to take you out one day. He is the one that thought about you so intricately. He knows you
more intimately than anyone else on the planet. And he said, this is the gift that I want to infuse into my daughter. This is the gift I want to infuse into my son. And yet so many times people look around and all they do because of the human nature is they gauge gifts, right? They start gauging. Oh, look at this one. Oh, look at that one. Oh, who's, yeah, but how come I didn't get this one? How come I didn't get that one? So many times you get in a room and some people don't even say it. They just sit there. Mm-hmm. 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 What do you think about that? Mm-hmm. And that's all they do. They won't say anything. I want you to know, you have a gift that came from God. And your gift is incredible. And nobody does it better in that gift than you do. Nobody. That's why he gave it to you. Because the issue here is now agreeing that you, tell your neighbor, say, you got one. Okay, so the issue is you agreeing with it. Now, when you realize what your gift is, you find out what your gift is. We can help you out with that. All right, that's real easy to find out. But when you find it out, to start to study what that gift is. Because this is what he says next. In that same verse, in verse 10, he said, employ it. Employ it. Listen, if you're going to get employed somewhere, you're going to have to sign up. You're going to show up on time. You're going to have to get training and get prepared for what he wants for you. Amen? He said, employ it. Take it in. Receive it. Agree with the gift that God has given you. And that yours is amazing. Yours is amazing. It is. Don't doubt it. And if you've been saved for 10 years and you sit there and say, I don't know what my gift is. Don't blame me. That is not my fault. We have preached about it. We have spoken on it. We have done the gift assessment test. We have done everything we can to help train and equip. If you're new, come on in and we'll do it with you. But if you've been here for 10 years, I don't know what to tell you. But I want to tell you this. You walking in your gift is powerful. And you are needed. Because we can't do it without your gift. I know what my gift is, but we can't do it without your gift because every joint supplies. Yes. Amen? Yes. Isn't that what the scripture says? Yes. The hand isn't better than the foot. Every joint supplies. So we've got to become very familiar with our gift, get an understanding of our gift. And then I love what he says next. Serving one another as good stewards. So once you realize what your gift is, now it's time to serve. Not the recliner, beckon them, Lord. They must receive from my gift. Come, peasants, bow before my throne. Let me bestow my gift upon you. Because it goes on and said, serving one another. That serving is the same word, the diakonos, which is the deacon, which means a servant in the house of God. So your gift is for serving. Your gift is not for lifting you up. Your gift is not for making you look good in people's eyes. Your gift is to serve, taking it to build, strengthen, and equip the body of Christ with what? The gift that came down from the Father above, the one who knows you so well. You're valuable. Your value is beyond compare. It was the value, obviously, like we said many for all these years, that you're worth what the price that was paid for you, which was the blood of the Son of the living God. Amen? Right. And then that one who sacrificed his own son to bring you into a right relationship with himself, to set you free from all the foolishness, he said, now I'm going to put you on an adventure that's going to blow your mind. I'm going to give you a gift that's going to impact people's lives like you've never seen before. But I'm going to need you to study that out. I'm going to need you to equip and understand what your job is. And the people that I've called you to, the Hassingers, figured out what their gift is. He's taken his gift and he laid it down. He had a beautiful house, great big arena. His wife was doing horse lessons in and stuff. Beautiful piece of property in Livingston, I think it was, the township of. And they said, yeah, this ain't cutting it. Just not feeling it. isn't fulfilling everything. And then an opportunity came and they said, let's go take a look. Wayne went down to Haiti, checked it out, fell in love with the call of God and said, whatever it takes. What's going to take him selling everything? Well, I don't care, because that's all temporal anyway. That's not going to last. The guy who bought his house found out he's got to put some money into that house. Whoever they were, just like the house that you bought. How much money have you put into yours, Pastor Mike? How much money have you put into yours, Mr. Cartwright? Over the years, and he built a brand new one back then, right? And then still putting money into it. How much money you put into yours last year? Don't tell us. Don't tell us. Because every one of us has been sinking money into these pits. And Wayne said, I'm done. I'm done. Somebody else can have that which is perishing. But I'm going to go work on that which is eternal. Oh, when men and women find their gift and start to walk in their calling. Oh, I can't. You have any idea how great, how joyous all of eternity is? When the sons and daughters of God realize the love of God is so powerful that the washing away of your sins wasn't it. That was the beginning of it. The washing away of your sins was to restore you and bring you into the Father. And then the Father was going to manifest a gift on the inside of you so that when you stepped out of that place of his presence into the place that he's calling you to, which obviously we walk in his presence, but when you walked out deploying that gift, people all around you start to say, what is it? What is going on? What changed? Why is it that when you come, I just want to be around you? Has anybody ever said that to you? Because if not, maybe you haven't found out what your gift is. Because your gift is one that draws all men unto him. Amen? You didn't get the, I don't know, you didn't get the gift of division. So stop walking in it. That was the old gift that was supposed to die. Amen? Right. And therefore, you're going to have to tame that tongue. And start to speak about the good things of God. He says, serving one another as good stewards. As good stewards. A good steward is the one that takes that gift and uses it for the right purpose. A good steward is one that is faithful. Right? What about the man who built a vineyard and then he left? Well, some started beating the servants. That's not what we do. We don't start stepping outside of the guidelines and the parameters of what God's word has said for our lives and in using the gift, because we want them to see him in the midst of what we do. He gets the glory for everything. He gets all the glory. You get none. But man sometimes has taken a gift and tried to elevate it to take glory for themselves. Don't ever do it. Anybody says, what an amazing job. I can't believe how wonderful you are, how powerful you are, how God is using you. You make sure you look at him and you say, God gets all the glory. Amen. No man or woman does. Because anytime you start to build somebody up and raise them up and brag on them and tell them how amazing they are, it's not them, it's the Christ in them. It's the Spirit of God living on the inside of them. It's the gift of God being manifested through them that came from eternity. Do not set other people up for destruction. The Bible says give honor where honor is due. But this isn't about taking some gift and calling it something more than what God said. You are to use it to serve. To serve. A servant is the one that takes the lowest place, takes that gift, and then God's the one that lifts him up for a time and a season for him to receive the glory. Amen? He says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That manifold grace. Manifold, in the Greek, it means many colors. Isn't that beautiful? Because God's grace has so many different facets to it, doesn't he? The grace that Art and Susanna need is going to be different than the grace that Jeremy and Kathleen need right now. They're going to walk in different areas. They're going to touch different people. God is going to bless us. It's that manifold grace, that charis of God. And that way that he blesses you, he brings you unto himself. He fills you with that mercy and understanding and wisdom. And he allows you to step out. He has graced the passengers to walk on into Haiti and build his kingdom. Yes.
Some of us couldn't do that. Others in Cambodia, others, countries around the world. I mean, Haiti is the poorest one in the Western Hemisphere. Many of us have been there in the past. And you'll drive down the road and there's a half a mile that you'll drive or more. 30 feet wide, 3 feet high, garbage along the road. 30, 40 people picking through it. Trying to stay alive. Trying to find some way to add to their lives. Hal and Chris in the orphanage that we've been supporting for years down there. His home in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. They left Ohio. His wife's a nurse, could have made great money. Left Ohio, and they said, we're going down. We're going to take our gift, what God has graced us with, the manifold grace of God. And all I think about is a manifold off of a vehicle. For those of you who don't know what an exhaust manifold is, it comes out of every cylinder. All the exhaust gases come out, and then it goes into one pipe. And that pipe is exhaust. Well, that pipe goes right into me. And all of those 10 cylinders or 12 cylinders that are up there, whatever I need that day, God just dumps into that one and it comes into my life. And he dumps the grace over here and he dumps it here. And it's always different. Sometimes he sends one of you to encourage us, which we're very grateful for all of that you have done for Pastor Appreciation. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I was the only one I forgot to say thank you. So I want to include that now. I don't want you to think I'm ungrateful. We're very thankful. Sometimes he uses people. Sometimes there's other ways that God blesses us. The manifold grace, the way that he bestows it upon us, each one differently. Isn't it amazing? Because the thing that you enjoy to do, Larry loves to cook, right? And he's amazing at it. He's amazing at it. I don't. I like to taste what Larry's cooking. I don't want to prepare the chicken and the herbs and the spices and all of that and spend 6 hours preparing all of this stuff. I'll slap it on the grill and I'll turn the grill and I'll help him get it off and I'll package it. But I don't want to cook it. I don't want to prepare it and fix it. That's just not my. But him, he just gets lost in there. He's cooking and shaking and he doesn't even know what his recipe is. Dash, pop, and he's lost in his own world. He's completely lost. He doesn't even know anybody else exists. And then he takes it and he uses it to bless others. And over and over and over again, he did all the cooking for all the people that work at the nursing homes, over 300 dinners. He's out there cooking. Of course, he gets his minions to come. Oh, yeah, he gets others. Hey. You grab this, hey, you grab that. He's doing most of it, but he gets others to come along and they buy in to the grace that's upon his life. You see, when you walk in your gifting, other people will buy in to what you're doing when it's giving God glory. Others will come alongside of you and they will want to help you in what God has called you to do. And you're going to need other people because you can't do it all by yourself. Those days are gone. Those days are gone. So I really want you to be listening to the Lord Jesus Christ and grabbing a hold of the gift. It's a special gift that you have. And I want you to remember, it is not something that man has done. It's something that came down from eternity. It's something that God thought about you specifically. He thought about you. He knew you. He knew the kind of people that you were going to touch. He knew how he could use you in such an amazing way that many would come to the saving knowledge. He knew that about you. He's amazing. You see, because when we start to listen to him, here's a question I have for you. These guys walk up here every week. Somebody walks up and everybody. I know they're good looking. But here's a question I have for you, because if we know that God speaks to us, does he? Right. And he desires to speak to us, right? He said, Jesus said, I know that you always hear me, right? So he hears our cry and he wants to speak to us. Can I tell you, I think he gets tired of my cry and he'd rather do the speaking. I grow a lot more when I shut up and then I listen to him. So here's my question for you this morning. In knowing what God has called you to do, and you really need to highlight this in your Bible and underline that verse and study it out and then really start to ask God, Lord, because we can go into Corinthians, a whole bunch of scriptures I didn't get to today because other people wanted to preach this morning. But as we walk this out, I asked her to. The other guys were long-winded. But the question is, how much of what you did last week came from the words of mere man? How much of what you spent your time doing last week came from the lips of mere men rather than the throne room of God? This week has got to be different. You've got a gift, and that gift is going to draw people to Him. You've got an anointing on your life. That anointing is for someone else, and it breaks the yokes. You've got a purpose, and it's bigger than what we're all living. The question is, how much did you do last week that came from the lips of mere men rather than the throne room of God? I believe that He wants to speak to you so clearly, and He wants to stir up that gift on the inside of you. He wants to stir it up. You'll be dreaming about it. You know, I was just thinking about that because the other day, I think it was Wednesday, I had a dream. And I was dreaming about Vaughn. I was having an actual conversation with Vaughn Gerald. And he was a prophet here to the house for those that are new. 6'4", English guy, just a good friend, a close friend. And me and him were having a conversation back and forth, and I was so enjoying myself. And when I woke up, I was so disappointed because I miss my friend. But I know that there's some significance to that dream, and I believe that I got the understanding of it while I was up here today. But I got to pray about that and look at it. But I believe that God wants you to, I believe that He's going to use dreams and visions, which is what His word says, in order to stir you up to faith and good works. Amen? He wants to stir you up into that gift that He has given you. Ha! Everybody around here is looking at you saying, man, I wish I had their gift. That's what they do when they look at you. Man, that's a powerful gift. But most people look at themselves and say, I don't have any gifts. How many Christians walk through life and never ever tap into the gift and the calling that God has on their lives? But here the Bible says very clearly that you've got a special gift. He said, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God's grace is so magnificent that it's different for every one of us at different times in our lives. No one lacks in the presence of God. No one. No one. I pray that you entered in this morning in worship because it was beautiful. Again, the power of God to just wash, cleanse, and draw near. And the closer we get with Him, the greater the freedom we have among men. The farther we are from Him, the less effect we have on men. Stand up this morning. In Romans 12 and verse 6, it says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Each of us, everyone individually, exercise it this week. For those that have a word of prophecy that God's going to give you, for those that you work with, exercise it. If they look at you and they ask you, what does that mean? I don't understand. Share with them the love of God. For some, it's hospitality. For some, it's giving. For some, it's evangelism. Every one of us are to do the work of the evangelist, but some have a gift that they can't help but talk to people that they get close to. You know, that's a fun one. Because then you're never alone, no matter where you go. You never feel isolated. You don't have to know anybody. Somebody walks up, hey, nice shoes. What? Who are you? Oh, I'm the guy that just wanted to tell you about Jesus Christ. That's why you're here, right? Sometimes it's just as simple as that. But whatever your gift is, step into it. Look it up. Read about it. Study it. Know it. Understand it. And then express it so that the whole world would see the glory of God manifested on the earth. You are the manifestation of the glory of God on the earth for those who don't know Him. Let's walk in that this week. Amen? Walk in that. And I'll be expecting testimonies next week. The Bible says whenever we come together, each one should have something to share. Tell your neighbor, say, you better have something to share. Ah, some good-looking gifts in the house of God today, you know it? He wrapped you guys up nice. Some of you, he put bows on the top. Some sprinkles, not you guys. You guys got war paint and stuff on your faces. All right, the girls got the sprinkles. But beautiful gifts represented in the house of God. Don't doubt it. Don't look down on it. Don't stand on the outside and say, that's not me. It is, because His word said so. He said it about you, and He wrapped you up beautifully. Let's manifest the gift of God this week. Father, I thank You for the body of Christ this morning. Lord, and as we've looked at just one small piece of Your word, thinking about the manifold grace of God. Lord, whatever the need is, You always meet it. We never go without, because You're always with us, and You go before us, and You're our rear guard. Therefore, there are no sneak attacks, for You're the one that defends us. You're the one that guides us. You're the one that has loosed us. You're the one that has called us by name. You're the one that has deposited a gift on the inside of each one of us. Father, we want to walk in the fullness of that gift. We want to express that gift so that You're glorified on the earth. That no matter where we walk, Father, we want them to say, how did You know that? Why did You do that? Why would You open up Your house to me? You don't even know me. We'd be able to say, because my God has called me for this time in the season to love those that are in need. Father, I pray that as we express our gift among men, that we would lead each one of them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that we would start to disciple each and every one that You send to us. And Lord, that our lives would be willing, or we would be willing with our lives to take what we have, as was said earlier, and lay it down. And to reach out and grab a hold of it, even if it looks like a snake, and say that I know my God will make something incredible out of what I have given Him. Father, today, I thank You for the body of Christ, that they're strong, they're mighty, they're set free, they're filled with the power of God. They have a gift that no one else could give them but You. Oh, Father, You're the only one that could give us the gift that we have. Thank You for the gift, oh God. Thank You for allowing us to take something that was created in eternity and express it before mortal man, so that You would receive the glory. Father, we say we will walk out our gifting and calling in the name of Jesus. And I thank You for my brothers and sisters. I thank You for the divine gifts. Every gift is divine, for that's where it was created, in the heart and the mind of God. And Father, we agree that as we knit our hearts to Yours, we become a family. Lord, let us love one another, encourage one another without complaint this week. But Father, magnifying You in everything that we do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.